WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and it is already Friday, December 11th. First off, I can't believe that the end of the week is already here. And second off, I can't believe that Christmas is already here. Heck, 2016 is already about to be here in just a sec. That's unbelievable stuff. But on today's show, we've got a hot one for you. We will have nothing but discussion here on the show. I love shows like this where we get to engage and debate and discuss. And we will be talking about last night's college football awards and debating whether or not we agreed with the hardware that was handed out to each respective player or team and etc. So we'll talk about what we saw last night on ESPN. Also, the Michigan State versus U of M Miracle at the Big House was voted best play at the awards. How about that? I don't think any Spartan fans out there are disagreeing with that award being handed to Mark D'Antonio's team. We will discuss what is the best play in the D'Antonio era. I'll break down a few plays that come to mind. Also, heck, if you got any thoughts on what you think is the best play in Michigan State football history, I would love to hear from you. We are also giving away tickets to the Michigan State men's basketball game. Again, Michigan State takes on Florida tomorrow, where they will honor the 2000 national basketball champions. Back in the day, of course, Izzo getting his lone national championship with Mateen Cleaves and company. Find out how you can win in just a sec, but hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners again for this December 11th. All right, folks, again, last night in the ATL, Atlanta, the Home Depot College Football Awards, were held inside the College Football Hall of Fame. MSU's last-minute touchdown to beat Michigan won the play of the year. Jalen Watts Jackson, he returned a fumbled punt 38 yards as time expired for the 27-23 win, dislocating and fracturing a hip in the process and making MSU's run to the college football playoff possible. Watch Jackson take a video message that aired during the broadcast, which you will get to hear from in just a sec. ESPN is teaming up with George Zimmer and Generation Tux to give away 40 tuxedos for the New Year's Eve playoff games. How cool is that, folks? Now, each of the four schools have their own design. They were donned last night and shown to the public during the College Football Awards. Amika Ofadile, Senior Director of Marketing at ESPN, said, quote, New Year's Eve is one of the greatest parties of all time. You're dancing, you're getting dressed up, wearing a tux. Why not have college football playoffs be a part of that discussion? I've seen MSU's. It's green. You know, it's kind of shiny, a shiny green, if you will, with Sparty's shoulder pads on each shoulder. Pretty cool stuff. You should check it out. Google that when you get a chance. All right, Detroit native and Iowa defensive back Desmond King, he won the Jim Thorpe Award in Atlanta last night. The award is given to the nation's best DB. King is the first Iowa player to win the award and seventh from the Big Ten. Michigan State's wrestling team, they fell at number 10 Michigan last night in Cliff Keen Arena. 39-6, the final of that one in the Big Ten opener for both schools. The Spartans are 0-6 and 0-1 in conference. They started the duel off strong, winning two of the first three matches to take a 6-5 lead, but the Wolverines are 4-1 and 1-0 now in conference. They rattled off seven consecutive wins to seal the dub. Michigan guard Spike Albrecht, sad news from him. He announced today in a statement that he is ending his basketball career. Albrecht has undergone two off-season hip surgeries and hasn't been able to fully recover. Albrecht became a fan favorite during the Wolverines' 2013 tourney run when they lost to the national champions, Louisville. Coach John Beilein said in the statement, quote, he has done so much to get back to this point, but his long-term health is what is most important now and in the future. We want only the best for Spike. Certainly going to miss seeing him play. Spike was one tough player. Former Eastern Michigan University football player Daniel Holdsclaw He was found guilty of 18 sexual assault-related charges in Oklahoma City Thursday, including first-degree rape. Holdsclaw, a former police officer, was found not guilty on 18 other charges, but the jury recommended that he serve 263 years in prison, according to the report. Now, Holdsclaw was accused of sexually assaulting multiple women while working as an on-duty police officer between February and June of 2014. All right, moving on from that one. Sheesh, with two third-period goals just seconds apart, the Detroit Red Wings, they topped the Montreal Canadiens and the Hags 3-2 last night in the D at the Joe. The Red Wings extended their point streak to 12 games with the win. Darren Helm had the game winner on just his second goal of the season. And last but certainly not least, my Detroit Pistons. They will try to avoid their fifth straight loss on the road as they travel to Philadelphia to take on one of the worst franchises in all of sports, the 76ers, Philadelphia 76ers. Detroit is 12-11. They are coming off their toughest loss of the season after the Grizzlies forward Matt Barnes hit a game-winning half-court shot at the Palace on Wednesday. The 76ers are 1-22. Oh, the lone win of the season for them coming against Kobe Bryant's Los Angeles Lakers. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. In just a second, we are going to give away tickets to tomorrow night's Michigan State and Florida men's basketball game. Find out how you can win. And again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can also even tweet us at either at WKAR_sports. Leave a tweet there. I'll read it live here on the air. And same thing at my Twitter handle, at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Drums, please.
The groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game! Unbelievable!
Bobble, oh, scooped oh. up! Here come the Spartans! Down the sideline!
Oh. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And into the end zone is Jalen.
Oh,
Watts, Jackson, touchdown, MSU.
Touchdown.
Folks, no flags.
The no flags.
Piling on each other in the end zone. It's over.
Weather is hot and girls are dressing less than checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
Hey, thanks, Big Will. How can you not love that classic? Will Smith, Summertime. And you know what? I thought that song was fitting to start today's show. Seeing as though, folks, it's December 11th. But it feels a bit like the spring right now. Am I right, Isaac? It's nice outside,
I've got
dude.
The shorts on, Al. I whipped them out for today.
You got on shorts, really? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah,
it's
of course.
It's gorgeous out. It's like 52 degrees. You know, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping. I mean, oh my goodness, it feels like summertime right now, folks. In a way, it's still in the 50s. It's not like 75, but It's gorgeous right now. This is uncharacteristic for Michigan, of all states, to have this type of weather. So, yeah, I thought that Will Summertime should intro the show today, coupled with, of course, the infamous calls, broadcast calls on ESPN and, of course, Spartan Radio, George Blaha and Strayhorn. How they just lost their minds during that call, didn't they? But, of course, of the Michigan State win over Michigan, the miracle at the Big House, because it took home some hardware last night at the College Football Awards at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia, and which I'm told is absolutely gorgeous. I got the chance to go down to the radio awards down in Atlanta with Gary Reed, our station manager, and we were down there. And of course, salute to WKR. We took home the Marconi. We took home a Marconi Award while we were down there. But we linked up with Jeff Giffner, who is the president and GM of Fox Sports South, and he gave us like an entire tour of downtown Atlanta, which is just unbelievable place. And he actually, we drove by the College Football, you know, Hall of Fame down there, and it is absolutely beautiful, folks. And we just saw the outside; didn't even take one step in there. And Jeff was telling me that they give you like this, they give you like a necklace of some sort, and it's like attached to a screen, and you can choose whatever team you want to. So let's say you're a Spartan fan, right? And you walk into the College Football Hall of Fame. They give you this screen. It's kind of like an iPad, I guess, you know, as Jeff described it. And as you're walking through that iPad or whatever screen it is, it detects, you know, what team you're looking for, what team you're interested in, and it will give you fun facts along the way as you're walking throughout the Hall of Fame. It's very, very cool stuff, but it's brand new, and that's where they had the College Football Awards. And, again, that play, the Jalen Watts-Jackson fumble return off the muff punt off the hands of Blake O'Neal. Again, 38 yards as time expired for that 27-23 win over U of M. That took home play of the year. How about that? I pretty much guessed that it would. I mean, just an unbelievable moment. The craziest moment I've ever covered as a sports journalist. And, you know, I've covered the Rose Bowl with Michigan State. Crazy, crazy moment. Covered the Final Four with Tom Izzo's run this past year. That was unbelievable down in Indy as well. You know, and I've been a part of some crazy high school games as well. Even looking at high school, I've been a part of a few buzzer beaters. But that play was probably the craziest play I've ever covered in my life. So it was no surprise when comparing it to the other plays that were nominated. I wasn't surprised that Michigan State won. And I'm not sure what percentage of the vote they got, because I guess they held a vote throughout the entire broadcast, and Michigan State ended up getting, like, I think 40-something percent. People were voting via Twitter. I don't know how they tallied those votes, but they were voting via Twitter, and Michigan State, you know, won it by a landslide. It wasn't even close, I'm told. But Watts Jackson, he also even taped a video message that aired during the broadcast that I also thought was pretty cool.
Hey, this is Jalen. I just want to thank you all for the nomination. I'm sorry I can't be in attendance tonight. I'm working on my finals, you know, I'm continuing my rehab. I met with my doctor a week ago, week and a half ago, and I'm now weight-bearing, so the recovery process is going by fast and a lot better than I thought it would. It was a special play, of course, you know, it was against Michigan, our rival, and just seeing how that took place and then, like, how our season is going. Now we're in the College Football Playoffs, and people tell me, you know, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, so... It's a great feeling knowing that I was still able to contribute to my teams, you know, winning. Go Green.
Yeah, gotta love that. Jalen Watts Jackson, he said he wasn't in attendance because, hey, he's studying for finals. It's finals week for students here at respective campuses across the nation, and more specifically here at Michigan State, so he could not make the trip, even though there were countless other athletes who were in the building. I'm sure they weren't thinking about finals, but Jalen Watts Jackson, he couldn't make it. I'm you know, that hip is healing for him, so I'm sure that had a lot to do with the reason as well. But I thought that was a cool video message that he sent, and also a cool moment as Mark D'Antonio, and a bit weird and comical, all wrapped into one, seeing as though when Mark D'Antonio was presented with the award, Michigan State was presented with that award for best play, there was also the Michigan student that many of you guys who have watched that game, or watched that highlight, I should say, over and over and over, during the ESPN broadcast, they immediately panned to a student who's rocking a Michigan maize and blue hoodie with glasses, who has his hands over his head. And he has become a meme, one of the most famous memes of the year, if you ask me. And his name is Chris Baldwin. And a very interesting story with Baldwin, because they showed some other games in which he's been in attendance, other Michigan games in which he's been in attendance at. And I guess, you know, he always gives that reaction during stunning moments, because he's been slated in other games having that same reaction in other moments as well. But Chris Baldwin was in attendance, this Michigan fan who again, acquired instant fame after his face was everywhere, played everywhere countless times after Michigan State beat Michigan. He was in attendance, standing right next to Mark D'Antonio when the award was presented to him. Did you catch that moment, Isaac? Very, very comical. I chuckled a bit watching that.
I did see that. That was, I don't know how I feel about that. Would you like to be that kid? Because now you're nationally famous. You know,
you're
anybody's going to recognize you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's for having your hands on your head, your mouth wide open because you're in awe of one of the greatest plays in college football history that happened against your team. I'm not sure how I'd feel about being that kid. I think I'd
famous.
Like it.
He's famous.
He is famous.
I'm
he's finally
sure.
famous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the man on the campus of Ann Arbor. When he walks around Ann Arbor, I'm sure everyone is like, hey, what's up, dude? I mean, he is instant. He's like a celebrity on that campus. He's maybe even more famous than some of the players, most of the players that are on that Michigan football team.
And that
so,
is true. Did you see him at the Detroit Lions game as well?
Yeah, I saw him at the Lions
There's
game as well.
Nothing better than that.
Yeah, he's everywhere now, and I'm pretty sure that's tremendously helping his dating life as well. I can only imagine. So, but yeah, very cool stuff. And D'Antonio, he was a good sport about it as he took the award and smiled. I also want to shout out, of course, Desmond King, the Detroiter, who took down who acquired, I should say, he took down a lot of the other two competitors competing for the award for top defensive back in football. Desmond King, again, he's from Detroit. He's the Iowa defensive back who really gave Michigan State a lot of trouble on Saturday during that Big Ten championship game. He's a fantastic player and well-deserving. You saw him with his family there. He hugged his mom and other members of his family, and his mom was in tears. Gotta love moments like that. And me personally, being from Detroit, seeing guys come from Detroit and have that type of success and are able to do it through athletics, and he seems like a very humble kid. I that was one of my favorite moments as well. So salute to Desmond King. And now that's back-to-back years, I believe, DB from the Big Ten has won that award now for best defensive back in the nation. I believe what last year was Darquez Denard, right?
Well, Darquez Denard
was
two years ago.
Okay, I'm getting
Trey
my years
Waynes
mixed up.
Trey Waynes was MSU last year.
Trey Waynes won that same award last year.
If I'm not mistaken, I think so.
I don't know if Trey won that award. I know Darquez Denard won it 2 years ago, but I don't know if Trey won the award last year. Can we Google that? Because
that'd
be back-to-back Spartans then that have won that award. I have to look at that. But nonetheless, it's back-to-back years that I believe that award has been handed out to a Big Ten DB. We have to check that, but I believe that's accurate. I do believe that's accurate.
It was Gerald Howman from Louisville last year, not Trey Waynes.
Louisville. Okay, so two of the last 3 years, a DB from the Big Ten has won that award.
You'll still
though,
take
so.
That. That's not too bad of a ratio.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. But congratulations to Desmond King. Really cool stuff. And also, when watching, I don't know if you caught that broadcast, a lot of it, Isaac, but, man, the crowd was so stale. It wasn't me. Or was I just tripping? Like, every joke that Chris Fowler would try and throw out, or every creative thing they would try to do to liven up the crowd, they would barely clap, barely any laughs. I mean, I felt bad for Chris Fowler being up there. He had some funny jokes too. I'm sitting there like, this crowd is tough, dude. Maybe it was too many coaches in the atmosphere, all business, no pleasure. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was just a lot of just kind of just dull moments there I felt salty about the crowd last night. That's just me.
Yeah, see, I'm not really an award show type of guy. So I'll watch moments if I think one of my guys is in it, has a potential to win.
So you weren't glued to your TV last night watching it?
No, I was not whatsoever last
night. You're probably
watching
the NBA on TNT, huh?
Oh, you know it.
I knew it. I was flipping back and forth as well. But, yeah, the crowd was just, oh, man, like, liven up a little bit, man. But nonetheless, it was a fun time. It's always a fun time watching those award ceremonies. And Michigan State, of course, they got a lot of press for what they've done this year. There was even an interview with Mark D'Antonio and Nick Saban together as Kirk Herbstreit interviewed those two about their upcoming matchup. Again, in the Cotton Bowl, college football playoff semis on New Year's Eve, Bama and Sparta. Pretty cool interview, and you kind of see, you know, they both have this mutual respect for one another that is without a doubt evident. All right, folks. Well, that time has come. We are giving away a pair of tickets on today's show to the Michigan State men's basketball game as MSU will take on Florida. The 2000 national champion MSU men's basketball team will be honored, so there will be a ton of players coming back as they will be getting recognition for what they accomplished now, what, 15 years ago? I still can't believe that. That was 15 years ago. But if you want to be in the house to check out that moment and to check out the number one college men's basketball team in the nation, here's how you can do so. Again, the first caller to call in, because we make you earn them here on the show, the first caller to call in with the correct answer to this trivia question will win two tickets to check out tomorrow's game. Here's your question. Who did Michigan State beat four times? Yes, not one, not two, not three, but four times during that 2000 national championship season. What team did Michigan State, again, beat four times during that 2000 national championship season? The first person to call in with the correct answer, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. The first person to call in with the correct answer will win those tickets. Go. All right, while that is marinating, Isaac, and I know Isaac he's going to be directly by the phone right now. He's getting the call right now as we speak. I just want to kind of go through, you know, speaking of top plays in Michigan State's history, just briefly want to go through, you know, the D'Antonio era, because we all know, I mean, since Mark D'Antonio has been here, when he got the job in 2007, there have been some unbelievable moments. Unbelievable moments. I mean, just nail-biting moments that have just everyone just losing their minds during the game. So, you know, with this play, which I think is going to go down as the best play possibly in Spartan history. I think it's the best play in Spartan history. When I look back and I sat there on my laptop digging in the archives, I think this may go down just for the implications it could have. Let's say Michigan State wins the national championship for kicks and giggles. That would be a play that's looked at, as well as the Ohio State game. Those two plays, and just more so the one against Michigan, that kind of snowballed this team into success as the year went on. That's going to be a play that this looked at and says, without that, it doesn't happen. Without that, it does not happen. But there's other plays you can bring up in the D'Antonio era, you know, because I think this will go down as the best play in the Mark D'Antonio era and in Spartan history. But how about the 2012 Outback Bowl, Michigan State beating Georgia 33-30 in three overtimes? I think that needs to be noted as well. How about January 1st of this year? You know, Michigan State, they're taking on Baylor in the Cotton Bowl. And isn't it pretty cool that the first day of 2015, January 1st of this year, Michigan State beat Baylor in the Cotton Bowl. And now the last day of 2015, they will play in that same game, in that same stadium against another team, this time with a game that they could possibly spiral them into national championship talks. But how about, you know, safety R.J. Williamson returning a blocked field goal attempt as Baylor, Bears place kicker Chris Callahan is blocked in the fourth quarter of that game. Michigan State went on to beat Baylor 42-41 in overtime. But that play right there from R.J. Williamson, you know, really, you know, it gave him the dub. I mean, that put him in legitimate contention to put things in overtime. That's a play I won't forget without a doubt. And I remember going nuts watching that. January 1st, 2014, Michigan State linebacker Kyle Ellsworth. Of course, you know, looking at, the Stanford game in the Rose Bowl. How about, filling in for suspended Max Bulla at the Mike linebacker, former walk-on Kyler Ellsworth. Big shoes to fill, but he had that huge stop on fourth down that gave Michigan State the ball back. for the win. I mean, you can also go and talk about the Little Giants play, Michigan State and Notre Dame. Dan Conroy lined up for what was supposed to be a 46-yard field goal attempt against Notre Dame. And then what happens? Yeah, every Spartan fan holding their breath and lining up for the long boot. Conroy was set to kick a huge game-tying field goal, but it was snapped. Aaron Bates, the holder, stood up, found a streaking tight end. Charlie Gant for the 29-yard TD pass to win the game. I was on the field for that one as an intern with ESPN. And as an intern, cool story here, you're not supposed to cheer, right? No cheering in the press box, especially when you're if you're a part of the media. Just no, you have to have no bias. I was wearing an ESPN, like, flanked, you know, jacket on. And, hey, you know, you're not supposed to cheer for either team. I lost my mind, okay, when that play happened. When the Little Giants play happened, I lost my mind and totally forgot I was working for ESPN. I remember Kirk Cousins coming by me, and I slapped high fives with Kirk Cousins. Just craziness. I'm not supposed to do that, but I did it. I'll never forget that as a student as well. And how about, of course, you know, the Hail Mary, October 22nd, B.J. Cunningham, one of Michigan State Spartans, wide receivers, he kneeled in the end zone as players and officials, you know, reacted to the last play of the game between the Wisconsin Badgers, Michigan State. Again, it was a Hail Mary. Looking at what took place, it was a game-winning 44-yard touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins as time ran out to defeat the Wisconsin Badgers, 37-31. I remember watching that one as well and losing my mind. And I think number one has to be in the D'Antonio era, of course, the miracle at the Big House, the Jalen Watts Jackson return. But there are a lot of them that you can bring up, and D'Antonio he's not afraid to take some risk and get the job done as well, and that's evident. And of course, that game against Wisconsin, the Hail Mary, and of course, the Little Giants play. So just unbelievable stuff. And this, and looking at what has happened this season, you can't help but think that this team is a team of destiny. All right, folks, before we hit our first break, do we have a caller with the correct answer, Isaac?
We do. Well, first off, we have Steve from Jackson. If he gets it wrong, then we go to Steve from Grand Rapids, and then Bob from Eagle is third up in case both are to fail.
All right, well, let's try this thing out. Let's see what happens here. All right, again, the question is for a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Michigan State and Florida. Big game, number one men's college basketball team in the nation. Who did Michigan State beat four times during that 2000 national championship season? First, we've got Steve from Jackson. Steve, how you doing?
All right. I'm going to take a guess. Wisconsin?
It is Wisconsin. He completely nails it. So what do we do now? So Steve from Grand Rapids and Bob from Eagle, I don't think they get a shot at it then.
Yeah, unfortunately, boom. That's it.
There we go. I'm curious. Are they still on the line? So Steve from Jackson, stay on the line. We'll get your contact information. Congratulations, my man. You'll be heading to that game.
All right.
But do we still have Steve from Grand Rapids and Bob from Eagle on the line? Steve from Grand Rapids, is he on right now? No?
I'm here.
Steve, how you doing? Did you have that correct answer as well? Were you going to choose Wisconsin? I just want to know.
Yes, I did. I was at the Wisconsin game in the Final Four. And so that was a great weekend and, you know, 33-year season football ticket holder and now probably about 10 for season tickets with basketball. So I knew it immediately and I just couldn't quite get the number dialed quick enough while driving.
Oh, God, that's tough. You know, safe, my man. We all know about, you know, trying to mess with your phone while driving. But, hey, thanks a lot for calling, Steve from Grand Rapids. Appreciate it. And, yeah, you would have nailed it as well. All right, what about Bob from Eagle? Is he still on the line? Bob?
Should be.
Do we got Bob? Bob from Eagle? No, I think Bob.
Guess not. He must have logged off.
He must have got upset after. All right. Well, Bob from Eagle, thanks a lot for calling in as well. Was it chaos like earlier this week, Isaac, back
then? There was the immediate rush of two callers almost simultaneously. You could hear the ring at the same time. Fortunately, we do have the queue on the phone, so we knew that Steve from Jackson came first.
Gotcha. All right.
A battle of the two Steves, apparently.
There we go. Yeah, because they were the first two callers. All right, Steve from Jackson, congratulations. Also, we appreciate all of our listeners who call into the show. Steve from Grand Rapids, Bob from Eagle. Thanks a lot, guys. But Steve from Jackson will walk away with those tickets to check out Michigan State as they take on Florida at the Breslin Center tomorrow. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we still have a lot to get to here on the show, a lot of discussion. We'll talk about the Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm rematch set for July 9th. Also, Spike Aubrey of Michigan ending his basketball career, and we'll have Reflection Friday for you. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Don't you do it. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Breaking news here, folks. Just now seeing this story broke about, 30 minutes ago, right when we took the air here at Current Sports. A New York Supreme Court justice today granted a preliminary injunction to Attorney General Eric Schneiderman to stop daily fantasy operators DraftKings and FanDuel from doing business inside the state. Now, Justice Manuel Mendez sided with Schneiderman's contention that the two were operating illegal gambling sites based on how New York law defines gambling. Lawyers for DraftKings and FanDuel argued that their clients could not have violated gambling statutes because they were taking in entry fees, not wagers. But Mendez disregarded a New Jersey case that they had hung their hat on, an unpublished decision, in Humphrey versus Viacom back in 2007, saying that what they took in were, in fact, bets as defined by state law. Mendez wrote this, folks, quote, New York State penal law does not refer to wagering or betting. Rather, it states that a person risks something of value, the payment of an entry fee as high as $10,600 on one or more contests daily could certainly be deemed risking something of value. This, folks, is going to be a conversation that will trickle down from state to state to state eventually here in Michigan, because there are a lot of people out there that look at daily fantasy sports as gambling. Now, for me, we've had this discussion many weeks here on the show, and I've always, you know, because I've participated in DraftKings and FanDuel. It's definitely addictive, without a doubt. You can certainly get hooked on those sites because if you nail the right lineup, which is a tough thing to do, hey, you could be walking. We could be one of those individuals taking home thousands and thousands of dollars. It's an interesting venue. And the question that at the root of all of this is whether or not DraftKings and FanDuel are illegal gambling. That's what it comes down to. And really, for me, when we've talked about this, when it boils down to it, to me, I don't see what the difference between DraftKings and FanDuel. I don't see what the difference is between that and playing the lottery. I'm just saying. I mean, you talk about an entry fee. I mean, that entry fee is the same thing as going to, you know, your local liquor store or down the street to the gas station and buying a lottery ticket and hoping that your numbers win. That's the same thing that I equate it to. Will we start to see other states outlawing this? Hey, that's the big question. And I think right now, when you look at, you know, the state of New York, and an interesting case about this is, I remember when we first talked about this story when, you know, the whole discussion about, you know, New York saying it's, you know, specifically when looking at Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, he's the one who said, you know, who's really vying for this to stop daily fantasy sports operators, DraftKings and FanDuel, from doing business in that inside the states. You know, in looking at DraftKings and FanDuel, they both have headquarters in New York. The big question here was, okay, why did you approve it in the first place? I mean, DraftKings and FanDuel had to get approval from the state of New York to have headquarters in that state and to operate there. Why are you just now taking a look at this? And the reason they're just now taking a look at this is because they are starting to realize, and it's starting to really hit them that, wow, these two entities are making a ton of money. And I always say, anytime that you start to make that much money in any form, no matter what you're involved with, you better believe that the government is going to intervene and say, okay, how is this happening, and why aren't we getting a piece of it? I'm just saying. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got our good man and friend from Saginaw on line one. My man, Mike. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Do you here's a good question for you. You what you think of Bahomie Jones?
Who is
on
that?
ESPN? Bomani Jones.
I love Bomani. I think he's. I listen to his radio show when I can on ESPN called The Right Time with Bomani Jones. I think he does a great job, man. He's very knowledgeable. And I like him with Dan Le Batard on was it Highly Questionable? He's a guest on that show.
Yeah,
with his father as well. And I like Bomani. He's a very knowledgeable brother. I like him.
You know what? Because I was on the internet and I used to read his blog posts all the time and stuff and his commentaries on popular culture and everything. And he is good. He's really good, man.
Big music freak as well. I've always interested when he just kind of goes off from sports sometimes and talks about his latest take on music, and he's very well versed in it. He listens to rock and roll, everything from hip hop to rock and roll to R&B. Yeah. He's a very knowledgeable dude. I like him as a personality on ESPN.
Could you see yourself doing that, being the person that going out and getting you a blog and doing stuff like that, or
I don't know.
Having a podcast?
I enjoy it here at KAR, man. I'm living it up here right now, Mike. I love what I do right here, dude.
All right, man. What I want to ask you about last night's football game, Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings, do you see an Arizona Cardinals team being a contender to get in the Super Bowl?
Yes, I do think that Arizona, they have a solid team. And looking at, I mean, they're 11-2 right now. You know, I think like 5-1 at home. Carson Palmer, I mean, he was 25 of 35 last night for, I think, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. His QB rating was over 100, like at 117. Just an absolutely stellar game from him. And it's really remarkable watching Carson Palmer's career. But, I mean, for them to pull out that game, a close one, a 23-20 win, Arizona, the thing I've always said about them is they're so resilient. They just find ways to win. Point blank, period. They had, you know, they've had a few close losses throughout the year. I mean, you can go back to that Seahawks game earlier in the season, a 39-32 win over them. But they've always, it seems as though when the fourth quarter hits, this team has the formula and they have a great game plan to combating and making adjustments on the fly. And I think Arizona is certainly going to be a team that can contend to possibly get to the Super Bowl. Will they? In my opinion, no. I don't think they're coming out of the NFC.
Do you think what you think about Tyrann Mathieu from LSU and Patrick Patterson?
He's gotten better. I tell you what, I was suspect about the Honey Badger. I don't know about you, Isaac, but I was a little bit suspect about the Honey Badger. But you know, he was a great player when he was in college, and you know, when he first got to the league, I'm like, okay. I think didn't he get into some trouble?
Oh, plenty of trouble.
Yeah,
he got kicked off the LSU team for multiple marijuana infractions.
Right, you would know this direct. I'm pretty sure because you were probably, you know, you followed the team closely.
I've been scouting these guys since Patrick Peterson's first year at LSU. I can actually lay claim to the fact that I predicted Tyrann Mathieu as the next stud. His freshman year, I said, this kid's the next Patrick Peterson. Sure enough, he was, and he's an excellent player. That's one of the best defensive back combos, I think, in the NFL alongside a few of Seattle's, you know, tandems. But, you know, both are big playmakers but also have such good ball instincts. I think it's rare to find that amongst members of the secondary.
Yeah, and, of course, Isaac follows him closely because he's from New Orleans, and, I mean, you guys are gung-ho crazy about your Tigers down there, I'm sure.
Oh, you know it.
But yeah, I like Tyrann Mathieu, though. He's a fantastic player, though, Mike.
All right, man. I got to ask you two more questions, and I'll let you move along with the show. I mean, do you ever follow Division II Grand Valley State?
No. I do not follow them. Enlighten me, Mike.
Yeah, because they in the semifinals to go to the national championship game. They play in Shepherd out of West Virginia.
And what sport? Football?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
because Grand Valley have a monster program every year. They always they fell off a little time for two, but that's where Brian Kelly is really originally coached football from, Grand Valley. That's where he got his notoriety and everything else from, Grand Valley State University.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So So if you watch it, so if you just pay attention, a little bit of attention, it'll be, you probably can get on NCAA.org. They'll show you what that site where you can get the score or whatever. So
and who are they playing? This is for what
they
championship game?
They're playing in the semifinals, Division II.
And when is that game, Mike?
It's Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Oh, wow, that should be good. And I'm looking here, Shepherd is 12-0. The Lakers are 12-2. Yeah, all right, thanks a lot for enlightening me on that, Mike. Appreciate
that. All right, and here's one more question about Army and Navy is on Saturday, man. Do you think it'll come a day when Army's going to be able to compete with the big major Division five big colleges, or are they just going to have talent limitations?
A lot of limitations there, though, Mike. I mean, it's tough when you are competing against programs where football is what they do. Not saying that, you know, the Army, they have a great team. And you can talk about Navy that way, too. The Air Force as well, Air Force Academy. I mean, hey, they gave Michigan State a great run this year. But for the most part, talent coming out of high school, if you're a highly touted recruit coming out of high school, and you got the opportunity to play at an Ohio State or a Michigan State, a Division I pro, Alabama, you know, play with Nick Saban. I mean, Army and Navy, they're going to have limitations for that because they don't compete on that level, you know, in the platform in which those teams play at. I mean, the premier talent coming out of high school when it comes to high school football, they're trying to look at the premier stage, a premier program that they can play at and get a lot of exposure at. And frankly, I mean, you don't get a lot of exposure at, you know, playing at athletics, period, at an Army, Navy, Air Force Academy, so on and so forth.
Military
so
military
school. They will always have that limitation, Mike.
Yeah, I think, too, to jump in there, I think there's only one admiral in sports history, and that's David Robinson.
Exactly.
We're not going to see too many other of those guys. You see Keenan Reynolds for Navy, of course, send the rushing record. Congrats to him. But at the same time, that's not even a pro-style quarterback. Those armed services, they rely so much on the run game. It's just not something very conducive to sending players to the pros. Therefore, I think if you've got aspirations of playing professionally, you likely go to another team.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more, Isaac. Yep.
All right, man, let me say this. I'm going to let you go. Creed, you know, the movie Creed was Sylvester Stallone was selected for a Screen Actor Guild nomination. And what they should have did is gave Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler nominations, too, for the movie. This is the season for the movie nominations for Best Picture and Best Direction and Actor and Actresses Award. So that's just my personal opinion.
What confuses me, Mike, there are so many, like award, like panels out there. So I don't know how you rank them. I mean, I know you got the Academy Awards. You got, is the Golden Globe the same as the Academy Awards?
Yeah, Golden Globe. Screen Actors Guild, yeah.
And I think the Golden Globes, I think that's maybe like TV series. I don't know if that's movies, but there's so many of them. I'm just happy that the film is getting recognized. You know what I did, Mike? It's funny you bring this up. Actually, last night, after I watched the College Football Awards, you know what? I told myself, when I first saw Creed, I had my whole rant here on the show how much I loved it. Greatest sports movie of all time. I wanted to check it out again. I went by myself to the movies and checked it out again. I was the only person in the theater. And then after I watched it, I went and worked out and had a good workout. If you want to have a good workout, you watch that movie, okay? But no, I love the movie. I'm in love with it. I'm sure it'll take home a lot of hardware. Mike, thanks a lot for the call, my man.
Thank you, man. You have a great weekend.
All right, you do the same. Gotta love that. Yeah, I went by myself to the movies. I was literally, and if those who follow me on Snapchat, you guys know this. I Snapchatted it, too. I was the only person in the house to watch that movie. It was a 9:45 showtime. The only person watching Creed. And, it gave me the same feeling like it did when I saw it the first time, okay? All right, one more call, and then we'll hit our second break and wrap up the show. 15 minutes left. Again, if you want to call in and be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 9527. Let's go to line two right now. We've got Austin on. Austin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Al Martin. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. It's always a great time anytime you call in, my man.
Yes, sir. Hey, just letting you know, I got to find the audition tape my brother and I did to try out for the show, but as soon as I find it, I'll send it to you.
Stop it. You guys did not put together a tape to try and work here at Current Sports, did you?
We put together a tape to work at Current Sports.
They are trying to take your job, Isaac.
They really are. Man, I'm not sure whether to be honored or offended, Austin.
I don't know, man. I don't know. From the last call, it sounded like Mike from Saginaw trying to get
right?
the job, man.
Right? Yeah, Mike is trying to push me out. Right, exactly. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me, Mike. I enjoy my time here at KAR. But no, I'm glad you peeped that, Austin. Go ahead, though, man.
Yeah. Question, man. Question for you, and I'd love to get Isaac's input as well. Mm. What do you all think about us going up against Alabama? I haven't been able to tune in earlier in the week. So what's your and Isaac's opinion on the game against Alabama?
Well, yeah, just a brief one here. Of course, we're going to dive into it as the week's up, you know, as we get closer to kickoff. But, you know, just for a quick synopsis for me, Isaac, Austin, looking at that game, Michigan State, the big thing for me and the big thing I'm going to be looking at is first off, when evaluating Connor Cook, how healthy is he going to be in that game? Now, I would imagine he would be somewhere close to 100%. Because we saw during that Iowa game, that shoulder was not 100%. And he admitted that the day after. And he talked about how it was bothering him. And we saw a lot of overthrows. He wasn't able to follow through on a lot of those passes. If Connor Cook is healthy, Connor Cook is going to be the X factor in that game. Going against, though, one of the best defenses in college football in Alabama. That is going to be a key, and we all know, of course, just give him the Heisman Trophy right now, Derrick Henry slowing down that 6'3 monster is going to be a tall order for that Michigan State defense, and that defensive line for Michigan State is going to have to bring it. Shalique Calhoun and those guys are going to have to be on their P's and Q's. But also Jake Coker. How about Jake Coker? He's a player that I wasn't really high on, especially watching that very first game of the at the very beginning of the year, I should say, with Alabama. I didn't buy in to Coker as their starting quarterback. We all know about the quarterback controversy that they had. They were still trying to figure out who that guy was going to be. But Jake Coker, I think, Austin, has gotten better as the year has gone on and can hit you with the deep ball from time to time. So that Michigan State secondary is going to have to play up to par. But when you have Coker playing the way he is, when you have Derrick Henry playing the way that he is playing right now, Michigan State has gotten the job done, though, when all cards have been stacked against them. But if I had to make you're putting me on the side here. If I had to make a choice right now who I think is going to win that game, I got to go with Bama.
Yeah, I think the line started off at 9.5 in favor of Bama.
It did.
And
I think it went up to 10.
That.
I think it's up to like 10
it
now.
It did. But I agreed with that initially because I'll tell you what, I find Bama to be one of the most deep teams in college football because
Isaac, send all 11 of those that all 11 of their defense can go to the NFL right now.
Exactly. You see, I mean, you just list off names. You've got Reuben Foster in the second or, you know, coming up and making hits. You've got Ryan Anderson, Eddie Jackson, Ashawn Robinson. You've got so many great prospects for this Alabama team. Mm. Geno Smith, another. And then at the running back position, you don't only have Derrick Henry, but they have a change in pace back in Kenyon Drake, who's also one of the better backs in the country. It's almost like one of these tandems with Lendale White and Reggie Bush at USC.
And Drake
or Darren McFadden
and
Felix Jones when they were at Arkansas. It's an incredible tandem. So I think there's just too many weapons, too many options for Alabama to not favor them in this game. I think this will be a defensive grudge match. I think Alabama deserves to be favored heavily. Will they win heavily? I'm not sure about that one, though. I think MSU is a Spartan will team. So I think it'll be a close one either way this one swings.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close one. I don't see Bama losing that game, though. Yeah.
It'll be interesting, and this is huge implications for Shalique Calhoun. It'll be interesting to see how Shalique plays against an offense and a running back like Derrick Henry. I mean, let's be honest, there's no running back in the Big Ten, in my opinion, that compares to Henry. I mean, 6'4", 240 pounds, and you run a 4.3 40.
Crazy.
And that offensive line, those are monsters. So I'm really excited to see how well Shalique Calhoun can play against this Alabama team on the defensive side of the ball. So
it's going to be fun. Well, who do you have? I'm putting you on the spot, Austin. Who you got, Sparta or Bama?
You know what, man?
Unbiasedly,
non-biased.
I know you're a graduate from MSU, so of course you want MSU to win. But who do you think is going to win?
It'll be a close game. I'll say this: whatever team wins, the final score will be 27 to 21. Whoever wins, the final score is 27-21.
Austin, I'm going to ask you again. Who do you think is going to win? As you know, you just gave me like a Barack Obama political answer just there. Who do you think is going to win, brother? Did he hang up on me?
No.
give me Michigan State, man. And I'm not saying that because I graduated from there.
Okay.
I bleed the green and white. But give me Michigan State. Like I said on the show a couple weeks ago against Ohio State, we're going to see a team that we've never seen before. So give me, as long as that second, I might have to go Alabama as soon as I said secondary. I was like, oh, I might go Alabama. So it'll be a good game, though. It'll be a good game.
It was just starting to get into the reasoning section of it, too, and that's like, there's no way I can possibly pick MSU besides through my gut.
That's awesome for you. The always politically correct Austin, thanks a lot for the call, my man. Good hearing from you.
Yeah, you and Isaac have a good one.
All right, you too,
you
my
as well.
Man. Okay. All right. Well, have we hit our second break yet? I don't even know. No, we have not hit our second break. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will wrap up this week of current sports by hitting you with Reflection Friday. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Also, more breaking news here. Welcome back to the show. I'm Al Martin. The collegiate career of Adolphus Washington is over at Ohio State in the wake of his solicitation charges on Wednesday. A school spokesman confirmed that the senior defensive tackle, who was charged late Wednesday night by Columbus police with a first-degree misdemeanor and is scheduled for a court appearance December 17th, has been suspended for the Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl and won't play again for the Buckeyes. Citing a violation of team policy, Ohio State coach Urban Meyer announced discipline Friday morning after returning from a recruiting trip. The Buckeyes will resume practice from their matchup with Notre Dame on Friday, but Washington will no longer be a part of their plans. Just, you hate hearing stories like that, Isaac. I mean, just a player just making a poor, poor decision. All right, well, less than 10 minutes left in the show, 7 minutes to be exact. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And we're going to end this Friday show. Again, it is December 11th, like we always do each and every Friday here on the show, by doing a bit of reflecting and reflecting on the week that was here on Current Sports and bringing you some of our favorite moments, interviews, stories, and some interviews, moments, and stories that we may not have gotten to as well throughout the week. Here we go. All right, it is now time to reflect on this Reflection Friday on Current Sports. A very cool week here throughout the show. Of course, Monday's show was jam-packed with your calls, with your thoughts, with your recounts of where you were when you saw it. Michigan State topping Iowa to go to the college football playoff, taking on Alabama on New Year's Eve. Unbelievable moment. It was just great hearing from all of you out there about what this moment means in Spartan lore. Monday was a hot show. We also had the pleasure of inviting the head coach, third-year head coach of the Pomona Westphalia Pirates, Jeremy Miller, on the show to talk about that moment when the PW Pirates made it to Ford Field yet again, their second time in the last 5 years. And what's that like on the coach? I mean, having to temper those emotions, having to address your team after coming that close for, again, the second time in 5 years. And what do you tell him? What do you tell him? I found that to be very intriguing when talking with Jeremy. And he's done just an unbelievable job. And again, only his third year with the program. PW still looking for its first state championship in the game of football. Also, I got two more left for you. I had a great time out at East Lansing High School doing play-by-play with Eric Doc Love as we broadcasted the East Lansing versus DeWitt Boys High School basketball game, opening night of boys high school basketball action. Got a chance to check out Brandon Johns, and I see why this kid is among ESPN's top 20 list of the top high school basketball players for the class of 2018. The kid is absolutely redonkulous. I mean, he's 6'8". He's got muscle on him. I mean, he's not a 6'8" stringy kid. I mean, this is a 6'8" kid with some girth, okay? Unbelievable. That was a great game as well. And last but not least, today marks the final day, and it marked the final week that our current sports PAs out of the Journalism 418 class would work with us here on the show, seeing as though the semester is kaput, it's done. I believe, what, our finals this week, or was that next week? This week,
that's
right?
That's next week. Next week.
Oh, finals are next week. So, you know, this is the final week that they will be on the show helping us out, and we have one of them in studio with us who did just some outstanding work throughout the entire year, including a parking garage skateboarding story that was among – it was. I'm just going to go out and say it. I think looking at the final numbers, it will be – the highest viewed story on our website when looking at our current sports classes that we've had in the past few years here on the show. Ethan Merrill. Ethan, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, doing good.
How was the semester for you? What would you like to say to the people? I mean, what was your experience like working with us here at Current Sports?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. It was my pleasure to come in here. It's still kind of surreal that I've been able to come in 2 days of the week and just talk sports for a couple hours, you know, and get credit for it. That's unreal.
Crazy,
to me.
Right?
Yeah. And obviously there's some other work that I put in on the side, but there's been nothing like just coming in here and interacting with all you guys and the other assistants. It's been a good semester, and with the teams doing the way they've been doing, can't imagine a better like exact time to be a sports, I guess, journalist right now at MSU.
Without a doubt. Now I gotta ask you, Ethan, you did some fabulous work for us. What was your favorite story that you produced for us?
Probably the skateboarding at the garage story. I mean, that was the one where I could actually be the most interactive in the actual story. Got to ride along, and my buddy helped me out with that one, so that was another good aspect. It was kind of a collaborative work. That was definitely my favorite one.
And it's so good that, we are submitting that story for a few awards. We'll cross our fingers, and maybe definitely. You may be up at the podium accepting an award for that. Unbelievable story. Again, you can check it out at WKAR.org. Ethan, thank you so much for joining us this semester, dude. Yep. It was a pleasure. All right, Isaac, what do you got to say, my man?
Well,
less than 2 minutes
off,
left.
Yeah, thanks to all the other production assistants here at Current Sports. They did a fantastic job throughout the semester.
Yeah,
made my life easier than just about anybody else's. So, anyway, mine is the reemergence of Rajon Rondo. We've seen it this week and throughout the season, but he's putting up the best numbers that he has since really before the big three in Boston was broken up. So this is just fantastic. I love seeing that reemergence. One of my favorite players from the past. And then the Detroit Tigers making moves. I didn't expect them to be as active as they have been this offseason, but signing Mike Pelfrey, Jared Saltamacchia, I can't pronounce that obviously, Mark Lowe, any of these players, and of course the acquiring of Justin Wilson from the Yankees. These are winning moves by the Tigers, so good on them.
Without a doubt, and I have a bold statement to say before we end the show, the Boston Celtics are beating the Golden State Warriors tonight. Barbosa's questionable, Harrison Barnes will be out, as well as Klay Thompson, of course, that ankle injury. Celtics win tonight, the streak ends. I'm just saying. All right, folks, that wraps it up. Thank you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Have one fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.